listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake Up Hollywood, this is your host with the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have a wonderful artist returning. She is a veteran Wake Up Hollywood guest, and she's brought a producer with us. So I'm going to introduce Fia Nix and her producer, Sam. And I think you said your last name was Garfield. Did I get that right?
That's correct.
Dude, I am
You're on top of it.
I know. I try my best, but you know what? I'm sure you both can relate to this, but for some reason, it's like I'm not the best with names or lyrics or like memorizing things, but I'm great with faces or like memories or like how I make contact with people. But I'm sure you guys can relate because I'm
especially in LA, you're meeting new people all the time.
Yeah, so sometimes it's just like, you know, somebody could tell me their name was Ted 5 minutes ago, and then I'll have a great deep conversation with Ted, and then I'll be like, hey man, what was your name again?
Yeah, you know his whole life story, but not his first name.
I know that, you know, he hates cucumbers with a passion, but I don't know his name. You know, that's just how it is, you know.
Yeah,
anyways, we're gonna jump right into this. Fia, you were playing a lot of shows before the pandemic. Are you still playing shows? Have you been working on music this whole time?
Yeah, I mean, I've been lucky, I guess, all things considered. I have done quite a few pandemic shows. Definitely isn't what it was 2 years ago, as everyone's well aware. But I've been lucky. I've been performing quite a bit, more so in the last like 6 months. But we were using that time to really dive in and work on the production side. Which is how we are now able to put out a second album so quickly, which is coming up real quick.
Right.
So, yeah, we've been in production mode while, of course, like still getting excited and preparing for, you know, hopefully a big year of touring. People are, you know, hungry for music again. Yeah. Live
like,
shows.
You know, the funny thing is like when everything went on lockdown, I'm sure you guys were the same. It's like people relied on art. They were watching movies, TV shows, and listening to music during that time. And it's like, hey, people, artists are important because look what you have nothing to do if you're not.
Exactly. You won't take us for granted anymore.
That's right. I agree. So, Sam, how did you cross paths with Fia, or how did you find her music and start working on music with her?
Well, we actually go way back. Back in the day, we were both dancers.
That's awesome.
Like over 10 years ago, we were actually dance partners on a tour. And that's where we first met before either of us had made the plunge into full-time music. So,
like, are you talking about like jazz, funk, soul? Like,
yeah,
like
jazz, funk, very like just kind of contemporary pop type stuff. And when I went into music and went full-time, she had already been doing it for a couple of years. And we reconnected, and then we were one day like, let's do a track. And that one track ended up becoming 11 tracks. And
one more. We had a vibe and it clicked. And it was the first time too, I had really been so hands-on one-on-one with a producer who was also a friend and a confidant. So it just started to kind of unleash a different sound, and one track turned into two, turned into here we have an album. So.
Well, what's funny, it's like it either brings you closer or tears you apart. So
I'm sure he wants to kill me sometimes.
The trenches. It's like when I make a record with my band, it's like I tell them beforehand, I'm like, we're going to rehearse for 6 months, and then we're going to make a record, and we're going to maybe hate each other for about a couple weeks. And then I'm going to kick all you guys out and mix the record without, you know, you guys knowing. And then you're just going to hear the final thing and be like, wow, it sounds so good. And that's the way I like it. But
yeah,
you're working hands-on with somebody else. It's like there's a trust factor. There's, a level of we have to completely know each other. And if we don't know each other, we're going to know each other by the end of this. Because it's like you have to completely, you know, lead each other on and push to make something better than what you can make individually, right?
Yeah. And I think that's actually what made this project so great, because in past times, like my first album had some really major names on it. I recorded it, you know, down at Muscle Shoals. I think we talked about that on another show of ours. You know, with Brian Maloof and all these big names and the Swampers and Will McFarlane, music direction. And it was just like, you know, great and amazing. Yeah. But at the same time, with Sam, there's this level of comfort and trust, as you're saying. And so, whereas with them, like, you know, I didn't feel this ability to break out and kind of find that inner artist. I was kind of being told what to do, who to be, how to do it. And then with Sam and just everything that unfolded from there, it was like, all right, well, what artist do I want to be? And because I love and trust him, I'm kind of in a free space to just let some weird shit out. And some worked and some didn't, but it came together.
That's awesome. And Sam, how was the process for you? Were you kind of like, you know, wanting to take songs in a certain direction? Was Fia open for it, or was it vice versa? Was she wanting?
She was pretty open, honestly. I like to get a little weird a lot of the time, actually. But you know, she was always really amazing with really trusting me. I wanted to take her a really different direction from the stuff that she had previously put out. I knew the backstory. I knew where she wasn't feeling totally fulfilled and being pushed to expand on just her own artistry. And I basically just kind of let her say, like, I said yes to everything she wanted to do. She wanted to go this way. I was like, yes, let's go that way. You want to do this? Let's go that way. And then I just tried to expand upon with my own kind of artistic prowess of however I could bring that to life for her and push her to get something a little different than what she'd been doing before.
That's awesome. Let's talk individually. Like, what kind of influences were you going for? Sounds you talked, you know, Fia, you said you recorded a Muscle Shoals. A lot of people, you know that it's a very famous studio. Aretha Franklin recorded there. Yeah. I think Ray Charles did some work there too. Mm-hmm. So many legends have recorded.
Oh, legends. Yeah.
So first of all, it had to be an awesome experience because there is an energy when you walk into rooms like that. And then second of all, how did you want to take a departure and what influences were you thinking about creatively for both?
Well, that was kind of the whole thing is like I've always felt that draw to the Motown era. I'm definitely an old soul. I love like my R&B, like anything from like the 50s to like early 70s, I'm like all about. And it's always influenced my music, which is partly why I did the whole Muscle Shoals thing and really trusted that team. And again, it was like an amazing experience. And that music to this day is still incredible and you know, an album I'm extremely proud of. It's just that I needed to take the elements of that, which was the authentic, the R&B, the groove, the soul, and find a way to infuse elements that were more of me and more in like a modern sense and more of like a pop kind of dance sense, because that's also a big part of me as an artist, and figure out a way to blend them. But you can't really do that if you don't fully understand yourself as an artist. And I was so new at the time and with such, you know, great guidance that in a way it hindered me because I wasn't fully able to, you know, do it my way or to like take those risks and like take those chances. So whereas I was molded in a beautiful way, you know, and I still stick to that R&B. I still love the soul, anything with grit. Etta James, Aretha Franklin, you know, big, powerful female vocals meets like this other side of Fia, this experimental, this kind of like rock thing that's coming out, this like pop commercial thing, the dance thing, like how do we fuse the two worlds?
Awesome. And Sam, what about you creatively? What influences were you kind of pulling on to kind of make the songs what they were?
Well, I did want to keep elements of that old Fia Motown kind of experience. There were things, especially vocally, that I really wanted to do, but I really wanted to take that to like a much updated sound for this album. I really was pulling from a lot of a mixture of like the same kind of artists she's talking about, they're very old and vintage, but then bringing in new elements. I fuse a lot of different styles in my music. Most of my music doesn't really fall into like one niche genre.
Right.
It's a lot of like jazz meets pop meets electronic. You know, I'll take something that's like an old sounding guitar, but then just make sure there's like 808s underneath it, or, you know, adding in like taking different sounds you wouldn't normally hear, a lot of sound sampling and stuff. And I knew this was a style that she hadn't really been diving into. So I was pulling from just so many eclectic different things that I would like give her a reference in this track. Like, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? And it was always something very different, but we were pulling in from so many different areas.
We lost you. What happened? But
we took a commercial break.
What I was about to say.
It was too much.
Yeah, that's all right.
We have to tap out.
No, you know, it's funny because it's like, you know, when I was in music school, I fell in love with like funk and rock and blues and all those things.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you're going out, you know, you're going out to bars and clubs where they're playing electronic music.
Yeah.
You have this like pull to that. So what's funny is like, you know, I always like wanted to set the groundwork with being in a band, but like in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know, it'd be so cool to do these like club tracks. So yeah. I've been doing these like top lines with DJs from around the world. And recently I got the chance to go to a club and this DJ flew in from the Netherlands and she played like three or four songs that we had written together. And I got to like stand in this VIP area and watch people dancing to club music, which is totally not my like my bag. So like I love when artists say they're drawn to completely polar opposite styles from either their last record. I feel like the best artists take a style and put it down on a record, and then the next record is a complete departure. So like when I hear that, I'm like, oh my god, it's music to my ears already. Yeah. Because I don't want any artist to be pigeonholed and feel like they can't make something that's going to surprise people, because I mean, my favorite artists did that. They were just always making groundbreaking things, you know. So that's awesome that you guys are pulling from like some challenging styles, collaborating in a way that is not what your last record was. And how did you find that you found like kind of like a new frontier, a new common ground with this new sound?
You know, I think like for me, like Sam said, we kind of listened to like what's out there, what do we like about it, what would we do different, and really kind of picked some references. And then as far as me, locked up in the pandemic, nowhere to go, nothing but, you know, my keyboard and myself and a lot of feelings, a lot of emotions going on.
Right.
And it was just, it was really this first time of just sitting down and just like, kind of like, there was no pressure of like any kind of deadline. I don't need to like produce a certain amount of songs. I'm not trying to bust out an album. It was just all this time and all this creativity pent up. And I just kind of sat with it and just let things come as they would. So it was like the first time I was just very experimental. I was listening to different things. I was, you know, trying different things, things that were very much out of my comfort zone, just to see what I was capable of and see what would work. And it's when you do that, it's fun because you kind of stumble face first onto things that really work.
Right.
And then I would bring them to Sam, and then naturally he would push me that next level. He'd be like, okay, that's great. Now do it. Now one up it. Do it higher, you know, add another harmony. Let's, you know, like it was just, he was constantly taking what I was bringing and then elevating it again. So it just was this ever evolving sound. Yeah. I think, and that's the beautiful thing about this album is that even from track to track, whereas there is a streamline, they're very different. You can almost hear like me going through this last 2 years.
Right.
It's almost like my life story unfolding, you know, through the tracks.
And Sam, what were you using, like, you know, as far as your DAWs? Were you using Logic? Was it Pro Tools? Was it Ableton? Was it a combination of different things?
It was mostly Ableton. I created most of this in Ableton. Excuse me.
Sorry, you're emotional about Ableton. I get it. You're like, Ableton?
Oh my gosh, I just like lost my voice.
This is payback because the other day I lost my voice during our recording session, and now it's payback.
Yeah, no, excuse me. I was in Ableton most of the time. Occasionally I use Pro Tools on certain things that I prefer to track in. But Ableton, I'm pretty through and through when it comes to production, especially electronically. I really like the workflow. And yeah, we just really went to town, brought everything in there. We were doing it through a pandemic, so we didn't have the normal studio options at the time that we would normally have to create a record. So most of it was pretty much done just at my house. Wow. And we did it all just like that. And it honestly like came out way better than even some of the records I've done in a full studio setting. So
matter of fact, where you're looking right now, this is our little studio.
That's awesome. I love it.
You can't really see the full extent, but like this is where the magic happens.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear something. What do you want to play us first?
Yeah. So we actually released the first single off of the album a couple months ago. And it was kind of exciting because it's completely took off and it did better Spotify and streaming wise than my entire first album. Wow. In the first like 2 weeks.
That's
so
amazing.
To be able to come back on the scene after, you know, a couple of years of not putting anything out and to have such a crazy response was really cool. And this song was called Still Love You, and it's also was the first one, the first single we wanted to release because it has kind of like a nod to some of my older stuff, but with like a very modern twist. So in our mind, it was a very good segue from Fia Nix, the Everything Girl, to this, you know, new kind of reborn, revamped version.
Yeah. All right, well, here it is. Here's Fia Nix with Still Love You.
If I did, I'm sure they wouldn't.
Yeah, that was awesome. Love it.
Oh, thank you.
Tell me a little bit about some of the vocals. I know you sang your ass off, first of all.
Thank you.
Really beautiful. Like, I do. So tell me about, like, you know, did you kind of do a couple takes and then, like, comp a couple things? Did you do, like, a lot of things live and then overdub vocals? And then I'll ask you, Sam, how you kind of processed it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, we usually, well, actually, that was one of our first songs, too, working together. Yeah. So I'm trying to remember how we actually did that. In general, you know, come into, like, production, it's about getting the sound and all of that. And then once it's time to, like, you know, lay down the demo, that's where I usually come with some idea of a vocal melody, you know, the harmonies we're hearing, the riffs and runs and riffs. And then we kind of just start laying it down. We usually do, like, a full track as much as we can, and then kind of come back in, and that's where we start playing, and that's where his mind goes genius mode. Mm-hmm. And he hears things that the average person does not hear, and I'm like, okay, but it's so brilliant. And it just, it's fun, because that's like, I really feel like, I mean, I've always said this, when we do music, whether it's from the very first, you know, writing it at the piano or at the mic, I always feel like it's almost this sense of channeling. And so It's this feeling that, like, all the pieces are there. It's right. Just like how you choose to pull them down and then, you know, keep forming that puzzle. And then it just keeps expanding on itself. So it's very much just, you know, a mutual, we each bring a lot to the table and then we just kind of let it go from there. But vocally speaking, I think melodies are probably my strong suit. So I usually have some solid melodies and then we just see where it goes from there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that song in particular, like many of them, she came to me with those lyrics written, and they were very slow, and it was just a piano, chord work, very slow, very ballad, and I liked the idea, I liked the melody lines that she was doing, but I wanted to speed it up. I wanted to make it have a drive, I wanted to get it going, and then I started playing with this kind of very, like almost 80s-inspired type, like teen romance type movie sound that you hear at, like, the end, the final dance in the movie type scene when the girl and the guy get together at the end. And so then I started playing with that idea, and I was like, what if we speed it up? What if we take this up a notch so it has a little more bounce and drive to it? And that's when we found the sound for that.
That's awesome. I just love, like, it's like something new and something, you know, familiar at the same time. And it just has, like, a good combination of, like, pop melodies and sensibility, and then kind of like future and throwback sounds. I hear a combination of both.
Thank you. That was the goal.
Well, I got it.
Thank you.
So, what were some of the obstacles, you know, going from song to song, or maybe just maybe let's just talk about this one first. So, were there any obstacles just kind of like thinking about where the song should go sound wise, texturally, vocally, writing wise, melodically? Were there any kind of like little humps that you were like, okay, this is, you know, we need to figure out where we're going with this? Or did it just kind of like flow and it was seamless and it was just like, that was easy, let's go on to the next?
I mean, I think from my perspective, it was almost crazy how well it flowed. Hmm. And I think that's why we laugh, but it's true. Like, one song turned into a whole album, because right. It literally was just this easy. And I think also for me, and I don't know how you feel, but it was the first time I was like really enjoying, and it's sad to say this actually, but really enjoying the process of making music in a way that wasn't so pigeonholed, in a way that wasn't so scary and like intimidating. This was the first time I was just having a blast.
Right.
And so nothing felt like it was, you know, blocking this full steam ahead thing that was going on. We just like, I was just having fun. It was clicking. To me, it felt super easy. And I just wanted to be here all the time, just like making more music and trying more things. And then it's just exciting too, I think, to see yourself evolve in a way that maybe you didn't know was possible as a right. human and also an artist. And I felt that with Sam. So it was just, for me, the process was like a no-brainer.
It was pretty easy. That was definitely, of many of the projects I've done, that one really did move. That's how we really, like she said, went from one to 11 so quickly. We just, it was just like a continuous thing. There was a few tracks in there that I definitely was, it took a little bit more of like trying to wrap my head around and like trying to figure out, that are a little more like off the main road, you know?
Yeah. Yes. I think I know exactly. There's always like this like push and pull that you're gonna have as artist and producer too, where it's like you want things to kind of like sound a certain way, or you want something to flourish in the mixing process, or even in the creative process, in the recording process. But I mean, it's, you hit on something I think is awesome. If you're not having fun, you're not doing it right, because yeah, music is fun. The rest of the work is not fun. The traveling, after you're like 30, 30 plus, the traveling is work. And I love to travel, but it's like the waking up early to do shows, yeah, or like anything that's like, you know, not music related, I feel like that's the work. So if you're not enjoying the most fun part of it, then it is wrong. So I love,
and as artists, like, we sacrifice so much for our careers that, like, I'll be damned if I'm not gonna have a good time when I can.
Yep.
Like, you have to, it's too much to ask of yourself if you're not gonna enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
And Sam, when you were doing some of the vocal processing, were you adding like delays and effects, some choruses? I heard a little bit of, you know, kind of blends of some of that, but kind of talk through some of the process of like how you want to get your vocal sounds together.
Definitely. We did a lot of stacks. That song in particular, we really were pushing our, what we could do with stacking and what I could do with each layer of the stacking. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the end of that song, there's like at least 16 different vocal parts and pieces going on there. And it was really that keeping those leads, having nice doubles that were very like layered, panned well, compressed. I wanted a very full spectrum sound on the vocals. And then I also had a lot of different affected layers, some that are really just more of a chorus. There's a few in there that are really just more verby and kind of have this delay bouncing around kind of to create this kind of back and forth between everything. But we really did push that, and I was making her do like at least every single part we made. She had at least like 4 to 6 stacks on every single part.
I really didn't need that many.
You know, like, and honestly, that was one of those things we were like testing and playing around with. And I made her do a lot of singing. That's for sure.
That's awesome. I had a friend of mine. He's an engineer I've worked with, and he worked with Barry Gibb from the Bee Gees, and it's like. Yeah. I was like, what's some of the things he does with stacking? You know, because you hear the stacking and all the Bee Gees stuff. And he's like, he does 4 of every vocal and they're exactly the same. And they're just stacked and panned. And I was like, oh, I'm going to use that all day. It works, and it sounds big, and it sounds like you feel the energy of it too. And it's weird because, you know, I've been on the other side where you're recording the vocals and you're like, is this really necessary? Is anybody going to hear this vocal 5, which they're not, but they're going to feel it, you know?
But they're going to feel it in their soul. Exactly.
They're going to feel it right here. All right. Yeah. So let's talk about like the next song that you're going to play. Kind of how did you make that jump to, you know, change stylistically or even dynamically or songwriting wise? Tell me what went into the process.
So I've always kind of wanted like a kick-ass, you know, badass, strong, powerful, very feminine, daring kind of song. And I've always kind of like held it up here, but never really had like the right moment for it. And I got inspired by like a sample, and it kind of just like spurred this whole kind of vision that I had for, you know, exactly what I just described. And so I just kind of, you know, got into another character. A kind of, you know, bad bee type of Fia.
Right.
And I just had fun with it. And it was just kind of this idea of like, the song is called Don't Shame Me. And it's exactly that. It's, this is who I am. I am all these things, and it's totally fine. And if you either like it or you leave it, and this is who I am. So it was kind of just this power ballad, but it was also done in a sense of fun, and it's lighthearted. Right. And there's actually a really cool video we put out for it too. But yeah, it was just like another kind of vibe. Like I said, I was just really trying to pull out different aspects of myself that I had always wanted to, but been kind of too afraid to or not allowed to. And so it was time. It was finally born.
That's awesome. And let's play. What's the next song you want to play us?
Yeah, so that's the one. It's called "Don't Shame Me."
All right, here's Fia Nix with "Don't Shame Me." You have to be influenced by Jessie J.
I love Jessie J. Are you kidding me?
I could hear it. That's not a problem, you know, Ariana, except you're all the voices. You're like,
oh my God, yes.
All the divas. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's awesome. It's just, and I love the sample, like the vocal sample, the vocal chop. Yeah, super cool. So tell me, like, stylistically, you were like thinking definitely throwback, but also you're influenced by what's going on in pop, or maybe just trying to hear more of what you like in pop. Tell me like where you were going in that direction.
Yeah. So, I mean, the sample, like you said, has that old vibe. So that took care of that. And vocally speaking, I always try to kind of implement both. Like I try to, you know, have moments where I'm emulating that, you know, strong chest voice, the growl, the kind of grungy thing. But then I've recently also been really developing, you know, my falsetto and my whistle tones and, you know, this kind of other register that I didn't used to dabble in as much. And I think that alone is a cool fusion. And then also just like, as you said, in modern music, like you hear like the Jessie J inspiration and like the Ariana and like, yeah, there's just, you know, certain elements that those women are doing vocally that I really like, and that I like to emulate, but this high old soul vibe, which is very much a vibe more than
I also hear, and this is a huge compliment. I also hear the restraint. Like,
I've worked hard on that.
It's like, I know that feeling of like, oh, I can just sing crazy licks. So I'm going to sing crazy licks on every song I can. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to actually show some restraint.
And this, like, is the restraint right here.
Yeah. Honestly, there's something about when you hear that, it's like you really go, oh, you could sing, because you're not singing all crazy.
See, like, I really appreciate that, because to be honest with you, when I, you know, when you first, you work hard, right? I train every single day, lots of vocal lessons. Right. Put through the ringer to be able to sing like that. So then it's like, as soon as that happens, you're like, I just want to do that all day, every day, every single run. Like, just put me all over that track.
Right.
But you're right. It's too much. And so I really appreciate that, because that is something that I definitely work on.
Well, I feel like, you know, and Sam, I'm sure you'll probably agree, it's like the difference between somebody that's new at this and somebody that's like seasoned at this.
Oh, absolutely. You're dead on there, man. Like, that's really what it is. And it's, you can, I work with people on both ends of the spectrum when it comes to like level of experience in the studio and stuff. And you, those people who come in and you know that they got that control, that you can give them a note, they know how to pull back, they know when to push. I mean, that's the dream right there.
That's awesome. I have a friend of mine. Her name's Maya Sykes. I don't know if you know Maya Sykes.
I've heard of
her. You definitely need to check out. I need to get you and Maya Sykes in our studio together, all three of you, because, yeah, she's like that. She just comes in and just, like, lays down the most ridiculous thing. And it's like, it's not even, like, what she does sing. It's what she doesn't sing. And I felt a lot of that on that track. It's like everything you were doing was, like, super tasteful. It was, super melodic. It was like enough to know, oh, this girl can sing, but not like, oh my God, here are the peacock feathers.
You're
not slapped upside the head with it.
Yeah. The funniest part was actually in that song. The actual hardest part for her of the whole thing was her having to speak that one time in the second verse.
Oh, yeah.
When she goes, with hands in his pocket. And the way that was actually the hardest thing. She's belting, she's riffing. And then I was trying to get her, I was like, no, we're going to pull back here. I want you to basically speak this. And that was the hardest thing for her to
do. Literally could not do it. All of a sudden, it was like, I forgot how to talk. I had to do it at least like 17 times. I don't know
That's
what happened.
That's hilarious. Really? You're like, I know how to sing, but I don't know how to talk. Let me
exactly. I was just like, keep me up there. Like, when you're just asking me to do the basic, like, no.
Well, there's also too, I'm sure you go through this. Like, every time, you know, whenever I do a record, I always like, I look forward to vocal days so much, you know, because I usually do everything and then do the vocals last and do all the vocals. And it's like, you're on this mission to get all the vocals done. And then once you're done, I get a little sad that the vocals are all done, because you're like,
yes, me too.
Oh, yeah, everything's done. So now I can't sing anymore in the same way and have that same level of focus. So you must have had that point when you were in this song where you were like, oh man, I want to keep singing all over this, but we're not going in. So tell
me, he has to like pull me down off the mic, because I could stay there all day long. You're exactly dead on.
And Sam, here's a question for you. What vocal mic did you use? Did you use the same mic on every track? Did you use different mics?
For this, we honestly just used a Rode NT1 on this for this whole thing. I wasn't really, when we did this album, I wasn't super prepared to do like a full album in my home setup. I usually work out of a ES Audio over in Burbank, and that's usually where I have everything I want. I got like Sony CA100, I can move over to the Neumann, like anything. But we were basically kind of limited with what we had, and we just started going, and it kept going, and we ended up doing the whole thing with that Rode mic.
Well, it's a very versatile mic.
Yeah, I love that mic.
You can hit it hard, you can be soft and sultry, and it's like always going to give you the right frequencies.
Yeah, I love that mic.
Yep.
Fia, have you ever found that there's a preference for you, like any mics that you prefer? Are you just like, I want to just know that I sound good in any mic and just make
that. I'm like, don't know what magic you need to muster up, but I know how I want to sound. So the rest is on you. I trust you. You make me sound good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Look, so tell me about the next track we're going to play. What went into like the stylistic or the writing parts of it that made you kind of inspired?
Yeah. So this next one, and this actually isn't even out yet.
Unreleased.
Yeah. Ooh. This drops on February 11th, so it's a Valentine's Day type of release. There's also a video. A
baby making music.
Yeah, this is baby making.
I like it.
Definitely some of that. And we actually just shot a video for it that's coming out the same day. So this one was fun because this was, you know, my chance to just get really sexy, have fun, like, again, with the just kind of, for lack of better words, taking the top off. And just kind of letting the song go where it was going to go.
And, already.
But for me, like, I love to play in that, like, sexy vixen realm. But I
really,
also,
I couldn't tell.
Exactly. But I also did it. I'm serious. So this song, from lyrics to video, is very just, like, fun, campy. It's a play on words, which will make sense when you hear it. It was just this idea of kind of creating this fantasy of sorts, that's just sexy and fun, but also, like, yeah, not too serious, yeah. Because serious is not sexy.
And it's honestly. Not fun. Serious is not fun. Are you kidding
it's not
me?
Fun. Like, it's supposed to be fun. So, no, but this song, I love this song.
It's
personally.
One of my favorites, yeah. on the album for sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. And tell me, production wise, Sam, like, how did you kind of come up with some of the concepts behind it, or were you driven by the melody, or did she kind of, like, give you so many of, like, the directions of the style that she wanted, and you were just like, all right, this is what I'm hearing?
Yeah, but actually with this one, she had been writing this song to a very simple little, like, a kind of skeleton beat of something that one of your family members.
Yeah,
made,
my cousin,
right?
actually.
Cousin made it.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
She had been so, yeah, she gave she had this little piece of it's like just a very simple beat, and then I heard it and I just loved it so much that I was like, oh, we definitely are using this. And I just, my brain just, like, exploded on it. Because it was just so sexy and so vibey, and I love the bass work on this one. Like, this one just hits so good for me. The bass mm-hmm. is so well done. There's so many cool percussive elements in it as well that I really, really, really enjoy a lot on this one.
That's awesome. All right, so here it is. Here's Fia Nix. What's the name of the song?
It's called A-E-I-O-U.
Oh, that's easy. All the vowels, girl. Don't forget why. It should be the next one.
That's the remix. And sometimes why.
And sometimes why. Here it is. A-E-I-O-U by Fia Nix.
Got me fucked up. You know that it was gonna make it.
Slow jam. Very nice.
Thank you.
I'm sure your voice teacher is going to hate me to say this, but you don't need singing lessons anymore. All right. Your voice teacher may hate me for saying that, but you know what? You graduated. You can sing, girl. Just keep singing, all right? So I won't get any emails from your voice teacher about it, but
yeah. Right? Not going to like that.
Let's talk a little bit about your background, because I know you were in a girl group for a while, Fia. Not to say you weren't in a girl group, Sam, but just getting confused by the girl group. Fia, you're in a girl group, and you toured extensively with this girl group. Tell me what that experience was like, how that influenced you musically, and also probably how it gave you a taste of the music industry, because I'm curious about that part of it.
Yeah, so that was like interesting, because I originally moved to LA to be a dancer, and I had a pretty successful dance career in the beginning. And there was a time where my manager called and said, hey, you know, do you sing? And at the time I'm like, well, yeah, like in the bathroom, in the shower, like where the acoustics are good, but that's about it. And, but I always loved to sing, like growing up, blast Christina Aguilera,
right,
at the top of my lungs, far before I could actually do anything. But I loved it. And so, you know, I told him, well, not really, but enough. So long story short, he gets me to go audition for the girl group. And I actually missed the original audition. I was on tour at the time. And apparently they had a big audition and didn't end up casting anybody. And so they reached out again and said, can she come in for like a private audition? So I actually went in, you know, auditioned on the spot, had to sing something. I know it was a Christina song, of course, had to sing something a cappella. Again, super new. It could not be that, I promise you. And, oh my God. So nerve wracking. And I was a baby too. I had just moved here. I was like very early 20s. Like, you know, this was all right. Very new for me. And, but yeah, sang a cappella and ended up, you know, getting presented a contract on the spot, to be the third girl in this girl group. So,
and it was all happened, right? Wasn't it called She?
It's called She. And it was, through like a branch off of Interscope Records, so it all happened fast. And then within like the first few months that summer, you know, we put out 3 singles and we immediately started touring. We did all of like the circuits and the festivals, like the White Party and the matinee, and just a bunch of, you know, big shows, bigger than I had ever done. And I had never even sang on stage before this. So, you know, it was kind of a whirlwind. And then shortly after that, there was a bunch of change of the actual group, but then the group kind of restructured and it became me as the lead vocalist. And then it actually became like 2 backup dancers, who would do like kind of the backup vocals. So I was more of the front runner at that time. And at that time I actually toured through China for like about 4 months, which I think is still to this day, probably one of my favorite things I've done.
Awesome.
Yeah, we performed like 122 shows in that time, and it was like, it was wild. It was every night, sometimes twice a night. These sets were not short either. These were like 2 25-minute sets. So it was, you know, it was extensive, and I was not prepared. But if ever you have to figure something out quick, it was that moment.
Figure it out real quick when you're on the road.
And it was also just that experience that, like, I think most artists, especially, you know, on the rise, would kill for, because I got to perform in incredible venues with ridiculous, like, lighting and ability to, like, fly in from the ceiling and just, like, things that you know, in your wildest dreams want to experience as an artist.
Right.
And, you know, even just like, you know, driving into a new city and you see your face up on the billboard and it's like, you know, that's they're crazy. Waiting for you to come perform. It was a dream come true, honestly. So that absolutely fueled my fire, and it gave me that little taste of like, okay, this is what we're chasing, and I want to just keep doing it on a bigger and bigger scale. And so for me, that was All She Wrote.
And like, out of curiosity, I mean, a lot of these, I mean, I have so many friends that have been with labels like that, and they have love-hate relationships with it, because it is an ugly business. There is something that is, And it's something that, you know, I kind of avoided because I was like, I had so many friends that got signed right out of college. And
yeah,
you know what? I'm going to just build everything on my own and do it the slow burn way. And, you know, it was a much harder road because you see people just like getting huge opportunities. But then like 3 to 5 years into it, I saw all these people spinning out of these labels, really getting shut out of these labels. Like, like they would have success and then the labels would be like, okay, we're dropping you. All the music you just did, you don't own, we're going to own, we're taking it back. And you're
and that was actually exactly my experience. So, and again, like I was so young at the time, I was very new to this. I didn't really know, you know, what to expect, but exactly what you just described was pretty much what unfolded. So as quick as this, you know, ship took off, it was, it came to a screeching halt. So when, you know, when they're done with you, they're done. So pretty much overnight, I went from, you know, having this like taste of, you know, these wildest dreams, pushing me, because I won't get into, but certain problems arose and then the label lost interest. And just like that, overnight, it's done. And so there was, from that moment forward, it was where I had to start over again.
Well, that's where I respect what you're doing now. It's like, you know, it's not, most people think, oh, to be on a label, you know, it's easy. It's not easy. And it's like, you have a lot of people kind of telling you how to be creative, how to be an artist, what you need to be. And they're not creative themselves. And they're telling you how to market this thing that they're putting money into. And it's really not even their money. It's like somebody else's money that. So, you know, kind of a, it kind of kills a lot of creativity or the desire to be creative. Yep. And the fact that you came out of that and you're now making music on your own terms, it says a lot about your passion for music. It says a lot about you, the desire to be. The biggest compliment is, wow, that is a crazy sense of like exhilaration and humility all at the same time. And you're rising from the ashes right now. Ooh, I got chills. I just got chills. And you know what? It's like, this is what I hope people start like paying attention to you for, because you realize like you're building now your brand and your marketing and your market and audience and crowd support based on what you want to put out there and how you want to put it out there. So in today's market, I wanted to ask you, that's a huge, huge thing. And, you know, I had the luxury of like the end of the music industry in some ways when we were starting as a band. But now, you know, the, a lot of things that were around music venues, even like a lot of industry people, A&Rs, whatever, if they've all just like marketing. Tell me about like some of the ways you're thinking about marketing your music and how you're promoting it. I love that you were able to do a music video and your single release on the same day. That is huge, because I know how difficult it is to A, do things on your own terms, do things on your own period, and also plan a promotional marketing, you know, experience for the listener and for yourself to feel like you're impacting people. So tell me a little bit about that kind of angle.
So I actually, that's a really big new journey that I've actually also embarked on in this last like pandemic time frame. One thing I realized with my first album was, despite the very high quality that it was, despite the big names that it was, despite, you know, everything that was behind it and all of that, it just, I feel that it didn't honestly get the attention that it could have gotten. And it's one of those situations where it was like, honestly, it's a live and you learn. Like at the time, I didn't know a lot of what I know now in regards to actually having it so that your music is heard and that it, it does something for you. And also, not just for me, but for my friends and people in my inner circle, like there's been this constant, you know, reoccurring storyline of, I am surrounded by the most talented people I know who need to have their music and their art heard, point blank period. And I'm tired of that not happening.
Right.
And so I actually have been studying in PR for the last year and a half, and I'm very lucky to have an incredible coach, Katie Long. She actually has her own company. It's DIY PR, and she's been coaching me through what exactly it takes. Actually, it's kind of a secret, but it's something that I actually, for a while, I kind of wanted to keep it under the wraps, but I think it's so important. And I think it's something that, you know, unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, but as an artist nowadays, you can't really just sit back and be the artist. You have to wear the other hats.
Yeah.
And that's not even just because of, you know, financially or whatever the case. If you're not hands-on and if you don't care more than anybody else, then it's not going to happen.
Right.
So, you know, I just over the last year and a half have been drilling myself on PR, what it looks like for an independent artist to release something. There's a strategy. There's a lot of planning. You know, there's so much that goes into it. So I'm actually working on a blog as well that's like 5 must attend an artist.
I love that. You know what's really great, and you know, we're at different, you know, sides of like, you know, when I started, I was told, oh, you need to have a PR person, you need to have this, all these things in place. And you know, the funny thing is you also have a lot of industry people, I'm sure you've gone through this already, where they're telling you, oh, your music needs to be this. Oh, it needs to be this. Oh, it has to be this. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you know, there was a time where I was like, I was listening into this barrage of people telling me, oh, this is how I need to make music. Mm-hmm. And it's none of those opinions ever mattered. Yeah. And the weird thing is, it's like, I just followed my own instincts. I ran my own ship. I ran my own thing, and it's like, then all of a sudden, you know, the head of Coachella booked us for a couple of years. Like, you know, and like we started playing big festivals like Bonnaroo and Summerfest, and all those voices and opinions of people telling you how it should be done gets softer and softer as you pushing forward and succeeding. And that's one thing I just want to tell you is like, always follow your instincts. Always listen to your gut. Don't listen to anybody other than the people that are in your creative family that you trust and believe in and that nurture the talents, plural, that you both are, because this industry is weird. It's so strange, and it's not run by creatives. It's run by a lot of money and egos and a lot of things that are kind of in the wrong places, and you have to sort through a lot of that. So one thing I love is that you really have a firm grasp on your vision. You're working with great producers like Sam, who are kind of in that Sam, you know, to kind of bring out the, you know, and I know this because I produce artists all the time. And it's also, it's a thankless and very test of patience job.
Amen, brother. Amen.
And it's like every phase is part of it. It's like when you're recording an artist, it's like, you're having to trust each other, and there's a mixing phase, and then there's like, you know, you both are artists, so like you could listen to this music 6 months from now and be like, maybe we should have used vocal B on that one. You know, that's just the way it is.
We're already doing that.
When we were listening to the playback, we're like, oh my God.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, it's like, I'm a little bit farther along on the journey just because I'm an old guy, and it's like, you know, there's records that I made 18 years ago that people still listen to. And we still play those songs. And I get these emails like, oh, my God, this song still hits me and blah, blah, blah. And like, or recorded with a different mic. And I just see them as like real blessings. So I hope that you both will take these songs as you release them and just embrace them for how great they are, because it's hard to do that when everybody's in your ear about how it should be listened to, how many streams dictate how good it is, all that bullshit. I will tell you, you both are talented, and it's great to have you as guests, because this is what the music industry needs to pay attention to. This is why I have this show, because I did so many of these radio shows and talk shows and TV shows, and like the features were like 5 to 10 minutes, and it wasn't about the artist. And this is like why I do this, to showcase new artists. And I also put new artists right next to a seasoned vet that's been touring for 20 years that is, you know, out there doing it for the same reason. So I'll have you guys back stuff, but I just want to say I love what you guys are doing. I hope that it leads to more collaborations. Thank you guys for being guests on Wake Up Hollywood.
We appreciate it so much.
Yeah, you rock. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Real quick, one more thing before you go. Where can people find both of you online in the stratosphere we call the internet?
Yes. So you can always go to my website. That's going to have all like tour dates, new music releases, videos, all the good things. It's just fianix.com. But I'm most active on Instagram, and my Instagram is fianixmusic with an X.
All right. You can find me every social platform at Sam J. Garfield.
And Sam made sure to wear, okay, I'm the boss shirt. So
this just worked out perfectly. I'm starting a new studio right now, and it's been grind. So I don't even like whatever I put on in the morning. Like, that's what you're getting at night right now.
Well, you guys were a pleasure to interview. I hope to hear more music from you guys. Please keep in touch. Thank you for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. On behalf of Sam number one, Sam number two, fianix, and myself, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. Yeah. All right.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.